Chapter 4 Causes of the French Revolution. Question 1. Give a brief account of the causes of the French Revolution. Answer. The French Revolution is not only a significant event in the history of Europe, but of the entire world. Before the outbreak of the French Revolution, the political, social, and economic conditions were bad, but no revolution in the world ever takes place for any single cause. Even a number of ordinary reasons do not suffice as contributing to the outbreak of revolution. There must be a set of some vital causes at the back of every revolution. The fire of revolution smoldered slowly for a long time and ultimately flared up. A prominent scholar has observed in this connection, "The French Revolution sprang from a combination of intellectual ferment and material grievances, and it was the intellectual ferment that made the material grievances more fiercely resented." The following chief causes were responsible for the outbreak of the revolution in France. Political causes. The autocracy of the kings. The autocratic form of the government was prevalent in France on the eve of French Revolution. The kings regarded themselves as representatives of God on earth, and ruled over their subjects without any check or restraint. The will of the kings was law. No judicial inquiry was essential for the imprisonment of an individual. Persons like Voltaire and Mirabeau became the victims of the authority contained in the Lettres de Cachet. Owing to being absolute authority, the kings had not called any meeting of the States General for the last 175 years. Appointment of officers and their termination was their sole right. There was no definite policy of the nation, and everywhere signs of chaos and confusion could be seen. The Bourbon rulers failed to control the state affairs properly, with the result that people began to lose their faith in the king and wanted to end once and for all the absolute power of the king. Now, defective administration. The French administration was not being properly carried on. It was a hotbed of favoritism and nepotism. The prize posts were reserved for the aristocrats and the nobles, no matter if they did not possess the required qualifications. All the important officers were given to the highest bidders. Though there was a governor in each province, yet these governors had no legislature or councils. Similarly, the municipalities and the corporations also differed in their way of working from one another. In the same way, various laws were in operation. What was lawful in one town might be illegal in the other town. C.D. Hazen has also written about it. What was lawful in one town might be illegal in a place not 5 miles distant. Almost 400 bodies of law were in force in different parts of Europe. Now, lack of efficiency in the administration. During the reign of Louis XIV, France was famous in the entire Europe for his efficient administration, but after his death, no able and powerful ruler ascended the throne. Louis XV was spendthrift and foolish. He proved to be a drain on the finances of France. some American and Indian colonies slipped away from the grip of France due to the stupidity of Louis XV. The 7 years' war proved fatal for the prestige and finances of France. It not only exhausted royal treasury but also affected the honor of France adversely. Now, extravagancy. The king and the queen spent a lot on their luxuries. The courtiers also followed in the footsteps of their sovereign. Thus, the expenditure of the royal court crossed all limits. The king lived in Versailles along with his family, and the courtiers were completely drowned in the luxuries. It was situated 12 miles away from Paris. A great number of servants were employed by the king, and about 1500 beautiful and select horses were always kept ready in the royal stable. Crores of francs were spent for the maintenance of the luxurious mansion. Historians are of the opinion that the extravagance of the king and queen was responsible for emptying the royal coffers. He did not cut his coat according to his cloth. Now, the power of the court. On the eve of the French Revolution, there were about 17 courts of law in France. No book of law was available for the guidance of the judges. But in each court, there was a register of laws. The laws were made by the will of the king. About 400 different types of laws were in force in France. What was applicable at one place might not be in force at another place. Thus, the laws in France did not have a universality, and their applicability differed from place to place. Now, disability and unworthiness of the rulers. The French monarchy had become completely immoral and corrupt during the reign of Louis XVI. There was a countrywide discontentment and dejection in France due to the evil deeds of the king. Robertson have written, Louis XVI was one of the least kingly figures who ever wore a crown. He was slow-witted, sleepy, self-indulgent, and with no interest but hunting, shooting, lock-making, and the theater. He was greatly influenced by his queen, who herself was a spendthrift lady with no love for the country. The king was merely a rubber stamp in the hands of his queen. He failed to bring about any reform due to her evil influence. Consequently, the fire of revolution went on smoldering within the country. If Louis XVI had exercised his own mind and did something for the good of the people, the current of revolution should have been slowed down, if not completely stemmed. Now, burden of taxes. The general masses had to pay 80% of their income in taxes. They were not only groaning under the burden of these heavy taxes, but were also compelled to lead a very miserable life. The members of the royal family, the nobles, and the upper clergy, who were the wealthiest person in the French society, were exempted from all taxes. Moreover, the privileged classes, instead of paying any tax to the government, used to realize taxes from the commoners. Apart from the royal taxes, the peasantry had to pay various kinds of taxes to the church and the clergy. The nobles and lords also forced them to offer gifts and presents. The commoners also had to do forced labor on the estates of the nobles, and they got nothing for it. Hence, there was a feeling of discontentment and resentment amongst the masses against the contemporary ruler and his officials, and they wished from the core of their heart that the present form of government should be replaced forthwith so that they might have a sigh of relief. Now, character of Queen. Marie Antoinette, the Queen of Louis XVI, was the daughter of Maria Theresa, the Queen of Austria, and sister of Joseph II, the Emperor of Austria. She was very beautiful and luxury-loving lady, and exercised a great influence upon her husband. She was an extravagant lady, and squandered a lot of money even when she was in the know of the deteriorating economic condition of France. Robertson has remarked about her character. Marie Antoinette was that ignorant, frivolous, and prodigal daughter of the Habsburgs, to whom France seemed only a bottomless purse to be drained for her pleasures. Grant and Temperley have also written about her. His wife, Marie Antoinette, was an Austrian princess, the daughter of Maria Theresa, a kind-hearted, brilliant, and really beautiful woman. Her Austrian origin was a disaster both to herself and to her husband. It made her unpopular in the country when France again came into antagonism with Austria. During the Revolution, she was constantly condemned as the Austrian woman. In fact, Marie Antoinette's influence proved to be very dangerous for her husband and France both. Thus, the political causes contributed much to the outbreak of the Revolution. Now, social causes. The social causes also led to the outbreak of the Revolution. The inequalities prevailing in the society created much discontentment among the masses and forced them to oppose the prevalent condition structure. The French society was mainly divided into two classes. First, the privileged, and second, the unprivileged. The nobles, feudal lords, and the higher clergy formed the privileged classes, while the unprivileged class constituted the peasants, tenants, laborers, artisans, small traders, and shopkeepers. No special privilege was granted to the unprivileged classes, but they had to bear the burden of heavy taxes. Thus, their life left much to be desired. Now, the privileged class. The privileged class was composed of the nobles, feudal lords, the landed aristocracy, and the upper clergy. They made up hardly 1% of the total population of France. Even so, they enjoyed all the rights and privileges. All the important posts in the country were occupied by them. They had established their private estates, bakeries, ovens, distilleries, and flour mills. The common man living on their estates had to take things from these establishments. They also used to realize various taxes from the commoners, while they themselves were free from all taxation. Their domesticated animals were free to graze in any field of the peasants, and they had no right to oust them. Owing to their tortures and cruelties, the peasantry nursed hatred, dislike, and rancor for these people of privileged class. Apart from the high posts in the administration, the young sons of the nobles were appointed on lucrative posts in the church also. It mattered the least whether they possessed the requisite qualification or not. The upper clergy utilized the wealth of the church according to their own wishes and led a life of pleasure, luxury, and immorality. They did not have any interest in the religious ceremonies and wasted their time in conspiracies at the court. Purity, chastity, and religious contemplation had not touched them. C.D. Hazen remarks, "These highly lucrative positions were monopolized by the younger sons of the nobility, many of whom, indeed, resided at court and lived the gay and worldly life. The lower clergy were not satisfied with their position. They have very low income, while they used to perform all the rituals. They had an intense hatred towards the higher clergy for their fabulous wealth and privileges. They also had a soft corner for the masses who were groaning under the yoke of the nobility and the clergy. Soon, the lower clergy made common cause with the commoners and provided a helping hand to the onset of the revolution." Hazen observes, "The triumph of the popular cause in the early days of the revolution was powerfully aided by the lower clergy." Now, the unprivileged class. The unprivileged were divided into two categories. The first category was known as bourgeois and the second as commoners. The former, that is the bourgeois or the middle class, were rich and consisted of physicians, lawyers, philosophers, and professors. They had established their monopoly in trade and intellectual pursuits. Often they used to lend money to the nobles. The government also often took loans from the middle class people at the time of their need. They also used to pay highest taxes to the government. But they were not given any privileges like those of the nobles. Neither they were freed from taxes nor any appointment was made from this class on any lucrative post, on account of which they were discontented. The contemporary philosophers influenced them much due to their being educated and learned. The revolution was really led by these people of the middle class, for they made the commoners realize their miserable plight. The position of commoners in the French society was most deplorable. They neither could make both ends meet, nor they possessed clothes to cover their body. They failed to provide food to their children and felt extremely dissatisfied and dejected. Their number in the French society was considerable. Major burden of taxation was borne by them. The revenue collectors tortured them severely. In case of non-payment of dues, the revenue staff used to enter their houses and throw away anything they liked. Thus, the position of the commoners among the unprivileged was extremely pitiable. They were greatly discontented with the prevailing system of government and the social order of the day. Now, the economic causes. The tottering economic structure of France was also one of the main reasons for the outbreak of the revolution. Some historians regard that it was the economic causes which fanned the flames of revolution in France. Louis 16 was fond of waging wars and took active part in many wars. Consequently, the national debt increased beyond limit. He also spent a huge amount over the construction of the royal mansion at Versailles, 12 miles away from Paris. It was famous for its magnificence. C.D. Hazen has written about the grandeur of this place. The palace. The Palace of Versailles, when completed, amazed the world by its splendor. It was the paradise of the spoiled children of fortune. A huge amount was spent on its maintenance annually. Louis XVI's love for war, mismanagement, and maladministration also affected the royal treasury otherwise, and the national debts of France had gone quite high. Louis XV and his successors tried to control these debts, but they did not succeed. Louis XVI wanted to prop the decaying economic structure of France, but he too failed because his royal spouse Marie Antoinette was a wastefully extravagant lady. She, due to her extravagancy, proved to be a heavy drain on the finances of the state. She was also known as Madame Deficit for her spendthrift ways. The king was only a rubber stamp in the hands of the queen and the nobles. D.M. Cattelby has observed in this connection, fundamentally, Turgot and Necker failed not from their own incidental demerits, but because of the character of the king and the strength of the opposing interests. Had the king supported them firmly, some measures of success would have fallen to them, and when in May 1776 he dismissed Turgot, the revolution became inevitable. When France was groaning under heavy debt and deficit, Louis XVI summoned the councils of notables, but the people opposed and suggested that the financial problems could only be tackled by the States General. Hence, in 1789, the States General was summoned to decide the financial issues of equal taxation on all the classes. Robertson holds the opinion that the very mention of the States General was enough to set France ablaze. It was as if a fraudulent firm, unable to meet its liabilities, had been forced at least to lay its affairs before a meeting of its creditors. The taxation system in France was also disorganized and mismanaged. The wealthiest people belonging to the privileged class were free from all taxes, while a peasantry had to pay 80% of their income in taxes to the government. Inequality in taxes had created dissatisfaction and dejection among the masses. Moreover, the method of realizing the revenue was also faulty. The revenue was realized by the contractors, who used to realize more than was due from the farmers, but deposited in royal treasury only a part of it, and thus appropriated a good amount for their own use. Thus, whereas the farmers were exploited, the royal treasury was also being looted by these revenue officers. No doubt, Louis XVI endeavored his best to improve the economic condition of France, and appointed finance ministers one after the other, but he did not succeed due to overmuch influence of Marie Antoinette, the royal spouse of the king and the nobles. Now, intellectual causes. Kettleby remarks that writers of all kinds prepared the French Revolution. In fact, when the political, social, and economic conditions in France began to decline, the writers and philosophers invoked a new life in the general masses by their speeches and writings. They not only condemned the prevailing social system, but also showed their resentment and discontentment against the evil practices of the church and thus roused the people from their slumber. Undoubtedly, the French Revolution sprang from a combination of intellectual ferment and material grievances. Montesquieu outright rejected the theory of the divine right of the kings, and he suggested that the king should be selected by the will of people. Voltaire awakened the people from their slumber and acquainted the people by his ironical and satirical writings with the high-handedness of the nobles and the clergy. Rousseau gave the people of France the concept of democracy through his book Social Contract. He criticized the tyrannical rule of the kings of France and also held them responsible for bringing the country to the brink of revolution by their despotic and arbitrary acts. Influence of American War of Independence. England and France were old rivals of each other. In 1775 AD, the English colonies in Northern America revolted against the British rule. This War of Independence continued for 8 years, from 1775 to 1783 AD. France took part in it to help America and crush England, its old enemy. Though America got the upper hand and attained freedom, yet it caused severe financial blow to France. A prominent historian has remarked, "French participation in the War of American Independence completely upset the finances of the country." It cannot be denied that it was the French participation in this war that precipitated the great financial crisis and ultimately led to the French Revolution. No doubt, France, however, could do so much as applying an ointment on its old wounds, but this participation in American War of Independence proved very dangerous for France herself, as the soldiers who returned to their country after the end of this war brought with them the revolutionary thoughts. The people of France now realized that no reform could be effective in France so long the privileged nobles and priests were present in the country. They absolutely lost faith in the king and the administrative machinery. For bringing about a change in order to end this crucial state of affairs in France, they resorted to revolution. Webster remarks, "This War of American Independence became an eye-opener to the nations of Europe and in particular gave leaders to the French Revolution." Other causes. Besides the causes referred to above, there were some other significant reasons which contributed to the outbreak of the French Revolution of 1789. The rise of middle class, disaffection among soldiers, emotional ferment of the public, and famine of 1788 also contributed to the outburst of this revolution. Summoning the meeting of States General also proved fatal, leading to inevitability of revolution in France. Now, characteristics of the French Revolution. In the words of Gooch, the French Revolution is the most important event in the history of Europe. It affected the entire Europe, and scholars began to say in the 19th century, when France catches cold, all Europe sneezes. The following were the prominent characteristics of the French Revolution. First, it had no definite date of its origin. Some scholars opine that 5th May 1789 was the date of its outset, because on that day the session of States General began. But some others hold opinion that 14th July 1789 was the probable date of its outburst, when the fall of the fort of Bastille took place. Second, generally it is said that the revolution was originated by the intellectuals, but this opinion also does not hold water. The thought of revolution already existed among the people, but the philosophers propagated the idea in a forceful manner. Hence, the writers of the 18th century heralded the revolution, but they did not originate it. Third, the outburst of French Revolution was not a reaction against the king, as he was not the source of all the disorder and lawlessness in France. It was against the privileged classes who tortured and tormented the general masses. Fourth, this revolution was led by the middle classes, who had education and wealth both, but were dissatisfied with their lot and felt envious of the privileged classes. But the question arises why this revolution sprang up in France when the condition of most of the countries of Europe was similar to France or even worse. Ferguson writes, "The French people were the first whom a sense of injustice and a desire for reform goaded into action. But the reason for this was not that the French were the most brutally governed or the most unhappy nation, but rather that they were the most enlightened and most eager for reforms." D.M. Cattleby also affirms this view in these words. It must not be forgotten, however, that high standard of the French civilization was not less a factor in the revolution than these abuses. Now, points to remember. The French Revolution is the most significant event of the world, as no single cause could be responsible for the outbreak of the revolution. The following reasons contributed to the outburst of this most conspicuous event of the world. Political causes. First, the autocracy of the king. Second, defective administration. Third, lack of efficiency in the administration. Fourth, extravagancy of the royal family and nobles. Fifth, the power of the courts. Sixth, disability and unworthiness of the rulers. Seventh, burden of taxes on the general masses. Eighth, character of the queen. Now, social causes. The French society was mainly divided into two parts. First, privileged, and second, unprivileged. The nobles, feudal lords, landed aristocracy, and higher clergy formed the privileged classes, while farmers, laborers, the small traders, teachers, and lower clergy constituted the unprivileged classes. The inequality between the two created a deep gulf which could not be abridged before the outset of the revolution. Economic causes. First, the king took part in wars and emptied the treasury. Second, the extravagance of the king and queen proved fatal. Third, the Versailles proved to be a white elephant for France. Fourth, Louis XVI made several attempts to improve the economic condition of France but failed disastrously. Fifth, unequal taxation created dissatisfaction. Intellectual causes. First, the philosophers exposed the precarious political, social, and economic condition of France. Second, Montesquieu, Voltaire, and Rousseau contributed much towards the outbreak of the revolution. Third, they also exposed the evil prevalent in the church and declared the church an infamous thing. Other causes. The rise of the middle class, disaffection among soldiers, emotional ferment among the people, and famine of 1788 also contributed to the outburst of this revolution. The American War of Independence was also a causative factor. Characteristics of the French Revolution. First, it has no definite date of its outburst. Second, its origin did not lay in the writings of philosophers only. Third, its outbreak was not a reaction against the king, but the privileged classes. Fourth, the revolution was led by the middle class. Fifth, this revolution contributed a lot to the rise of the middle class. Question 2. How far the character of the King Louis XVI and his Queen Marie Antoinette was responsible for the outbreak of revolution? Answer. Louis XVI. Louis XVI was enthroned in France after the death of Louis XV in 1774 AD. He was an inexperienced young man of 20 years. He was erratic and vacillating and was not bold or fearless. Above all, he was an extremely luxury-loving youth. He did not possess a steadfast temperament and could easily be pressurized and influenced by others. A prominent historian has portrayed him as a luckless man to be taken to guillotine and beheaded. His Queen Marie Antoinette once remarked about her husband, "The king is neither timid nor afraid of anything. He possessed a good deal of courage, but to his bashfulness and his want of self-confidence, he finds himself incapable of asserting before the public, and so he can neither influence nor command others." In fact, the king had various qualities of head and heart. He was honest, sincere, and benevolent, who always cherished a wish in his heart to do something good for his subjects. He intended to introduce some reforms for the good of the people, but he failed in his endeavors due to his fickle-mindedness and unstable views. He had very weak will and lacked foresight. Queen Marie Antoinette and the nobles had a great influence on him, and he could never succeed in doing anything beyond their wishes. Madeline has remarked about his character. He was pious, moral, religious, but labor. War and politics had no fancy for him. He was too good-natured, but his first word to every council was no. Kettle Bay writes about the unstable views of the king due to the influence of the royal spouse, Marie Antoinette. The influence of queen tossed him hither and thither. In the turbulent times of the French Revolution, Louis XVI was completely a misfit as a ruler as the period saw monstrous upheaval. He did not take keen interest in the administration, rather, he was fond of hunting, dancing and the theater. He knew well that the economic condition of France was deteriorating day by day, and he wished from the core of his heart to improve it. Louis XVI appointed several finance ministers to improve the finances of France, but he failed to act according to their advice. The finance ministers desired equal taxation on all the classes and a check on extravagance in the royal family, but the queen and the nobles opposed these proposals. Consequently, the ministers were removed from their office one by one. To call the meeting of the States General was an invitation to revolution, but owing to lack of a strong will, he bowed down before the proposal of his finance minister and accepted it. The leaders of the revolution exploited the weaknesses of the king. They had their own axe to grind. The States General also came to be known as the National Assembly, due to the fickle-mindedness of the king. He looked to be an innocent child, unable to speak a word before the cruel murderers, who accused him of being a traitor, and was guillotined on 21st January 1793. Instead of advocating his cause forcefully, he meekly said, "Citizens, I die innocent so that you may live in peace and happiness." Thus, we see that Louis XVI was a misfit as a king in those circumstances. He should have proved a successful ruler during peacetime, but in the abnormal conditions of France, he failed to establish control over the administration, and the French Revolution became inevitable because of his feeble will and lack of farsightedness. Now, Marie Antoinette. The royal spouse, Marie Antoinette, was the daughter of Maria Theresa, Queen of Austria, and sister of Joseph II. She was extremely beautiful and a cultured lady. She should have easily solved the difficult problems of France by her intelligence, but she failed to do so because of her being obstinate and proud. She did not have any sympathy with the public of France. She had a complete control over Louis XVI, and he could not act beyond her wishes. Mirabeau points out about her influence over the king in these words: "The king has only one person about him, his wife. She proved to be the greatest impediment in the execution of the economic reforms proposed by Turgot and Necker. Though the country had reached the verge of bankruptcy due to the extravagance of the royal court, she was not prepared to stop it. She often used to give precious gifts to his friends, made costly purchases, and wasted fabulous amount on her flatterers and servants. The people of France hated her due to her extravagance, and called her an Austrian woman. In fact, her being born in Austria proved detrimental to France, to herself and to her husband also. She became very unpopular when a war between France and Austria took place. Madeleine, an eminent historian, has written about her: proud, vivacious, beautiful, and she completed the work of ruin by her follies. Thus, the royal spouse of Louis XVI, Marie Antoinette, also shared responsibility in the outbreak of the revolution. Neither she herself tried to understand the deprived state of the exploited people of France, nor paid any attention to their timely demands, nor freed the king from her powerful influence so that he could improve the condition of the masses. This ultimately led to the outbreak of the revolution, for which both the king and the queen were equally responsible. Points to remember: Louis XVI, a young man of 20 years with no experience, ascended the throne of France after the death of Louis XV. He was a fickle-minded, lazy, and benevolent ruler. He wanted to improve the traditional defects of the administration, but failed in his efforts in that direction due to his own shortcomings. His fiscal policies did not succeed due to too much influence of the nobles and the queen. He was beheaded on 21st January 1793. Marie Antoinette. She was the daughter of Maria Theresa, the Queen of Austria. She commanded full control over her husband, Louis XVI, due to her beauty and intelligence. The people of France hated her, owing to her extravagancy, and called her Madame Deficit and the Austrian woman. Thus, both husband and wife equally shared the responsibility for the outbreak of the revolution in France.